Oh my, that was good. That was the best I've ever been introduced. Is that your phone? Oh, that's okay. Oh my goodness. Oh, I should be smiling now. Amen. Wow, the people multiplied. There wasn't this many people in here when worship started, or were you all just rolling? I was up here talking and never turned around. I look back, it's about three times as many people here. You multiplied. Amen. Wow. Worship leader, you had a good view. Were people multiplying or were they already here? Oh, okay. Because I've seen food multiply in the Bible, and I saw Christmas gifts multiply in person one time. That was awesome. But I never saw people multiply. I thought it happened. But I'm glad you're here. Amen. Really, I just thought about that Christmas gift thing. That was phenomenal. It had nothing to do with me being there. It's Jesus. I just went to help. It was years ago. And this group just got a bunch of toys for kids in the city and stuff. And they were handing them out and sharing Jesus loves you and different things. And they didn't think that many people were showing up. So they thought they were well prepared. And there was like three times as many people standing out there than they had gifts. And they went, oh no, what are we going to do? Because now they thought they were going to have let down. Parents, kids, big long line, and no toys. Because this thing was like, bring your kids, we'll give you toys. Literally, this is not an exaggeration, even the slightest. We got together and prayed and said, Lord, we don't know what to do. We got way too many kids and we don't have many toys. And we don't want hurt and offense, and we just want to share your love. So we just ask you to give us wisdom and bless this time. And they started... I went over to the box because I was just had to watch. And I was like, they were pulling out toys and there was just always toys. You had to been there to understand it. Like, you know, you got 10 toys, you hand 10 toys out and 10 toys are gone. No, it wasn't like that. It was like you'd pull a toy out and there was still 10. That's how it was. Now, here's the coolest thing. They were wrapped. Jesus like wraps these toys. And they weren't marked like this box. They started pulling out. They weren't marked guys and girls, like boys and girls. So they were like, I hope they get in the right hands. And we're like, wait a minute. Jesus is multiplying toys. They're going to get in the right hands. It was ridiculous. Like, things matter. Like, when you want to reach out to your city, he likes that. You want to give kids toys? He liked that. It wasn't a Santa thing. It's just, look. Jesus loves you, and it was just awesome. But the like a little girl would take the toy and open it was like the perfect girl toy. And then the little boy would open it, and I'm watching this whole thing. I wasn't even handing out toys. I was just standing at the box going. It was phenomenal. So I thought he multiplied you guys, but you were here. Worship leader said you were here. I'm glad you came. Who's from this house? Is there a lot of visitors or a lot of this? Oh, that's a good amount of Salt Church. So the rest of your visitors, if you didn't raise your hand, I'm assuming, huh? Who's never heard me preach before? Who's this the first time you're getting to hear me preach? Whoa. That's fresh meat right there. That's awesome. I was in Alabama and 2/3 of people raised their hand, and I'm sitting there and the pastor said, look, and I looked, I went, whoa. And he said, it's like a mosquito in a nudist colony. And I went, I didn't think you could say that in church. And I got thinking about it, and I thought it was really a cool statement. A mosquito in a nudist colony, there's tons of targets. You don't even, it just bam, 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 bam. So I kind of feel a little mosquito-y right now because that was a lot of hands. So we're going to have a good time. I'm glad you're here. I'm thankful for your hunger. People traveling, you Canada guys, man. Bless you. I got to say hi to them out in the foyer. Another family here I got to meet. I'll hang around a little afterward. I like this size crowd because I can be around you guys and hang out. When you do one of those big things, they slide you out a side door and you can't get to talk to nobody. So now listen, we'll pray for the sick tonight. I'll get you guys involved. Listen, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God's here. Jesus lives inside of people and he wants to. He paid the price to move into you. Like whether you knew it or not, you were a house fit for a king. You didn't even maybe know it. You're finding your identity through life and people and things, and you find your identity through him. He made you with a purpose. He made you to shine. He made you to love. He made you to be in him and him in you. Like we find our identity through life so much instead of the giver of it. We find our identity through things. Growing up, it just happens that way because we were born into Adam. We were born into a lie. We were born into the spirit of the world and the wisdom of this age and the spirit of this age. And it's not cool and it's not true. Like there's people growing up with low esteem. And yet the blood of the Son of God was shed to redeem the people that believe low esteem. Why? Because they're comparing themselves among themselves, or their daddy wasn't around, or they don't know who he was. And all of a sudden they're finding their value and their identity through stuff and natural things instead of truth that's going to be eternal. Like the Bible simply says there's a time to be born. So, hello? Let's be believers. There's a time to be born, and here you sit. Your time must have came. Predestined to be adopted in as sons and daughters. Predestined before the foundation of the world. Lamb slain. I bet you God knows what's going on here. I bet He saw you before you were seen. I bet He knew you before you were known. There's a time to be born. He's the author and giver of life, and life's in you. There's not an accident on the planet. Low esteem? Are you kidding me? Let's stop looking in the wrong places. Let's stop trying to compare ourselves among ourselves and measure up to what the world says is whatever. And you just be the best you in Him, the best Him in you. I'm telling you, there ain't an accident on the planet. God never created you to live apart from Him. He never created you to have an identity apart from Him. He made man to be in His image. You read your Bible in Genesis. The reason man's on the earth is the image and likeness of God. He didn't make man by happenstance. He wasn't just fiddling with some dust one day and sneezed on it and the man popped into his hands. Whoa, I am creative. No. He made man with intention. He made man with purpose and destiny. He made man to live forever like Him, eternal, one with the eternal one. That's where this everlasting life thing came from. It was that way from the beginning. Adam, the day you eat the trees, the day you surely die. Why? There's no death in the picture. He's one with God. He makes man in His image and His likeness. He's one with God. He tells him to subdue the earth. He looks around and sees animals and there's a male and a female. And he says, there's none comparable to this guy. He's amazing. Looks just like me. Almost as good looking as Pastor. So I'm glad you all came. Give him some competition. Think about it. People say, well, we need man needed the woman because he's lonely. You know, it's not good to man be alone. He's not lonely. The word alone is not lonely. You can't read. He's in the same boat as God was. God is amazing. God is love. He's this way. So He makes man in His image to multiply the glory and beauty and magnificence of who He is. And He says it's not good that he be alone, because where's he going to go from here? Right. How can you be filled with God and be lonely? Oh, it's a good challenge for the body of Christ. Come on. I found this in my Bible. It's in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge is to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I studied that out, and it means a house with no empty rooms. It means a town with no empty houses. It means a ship so full of cargo, there's no space, Ben, to put another box. That means you're completely and fully occupied. No vacancy. Yeah. Now you tell me where lonely fits into that. Isn't that awesome? To know the love of Christ which passes is to be filled with all the fullness of God. God makes man in His image. Yeah. He's full of God. Yeah. There's not a crack, a leak, a space, a vacuum, a void. Just fulfilled. And He says, it's not good He be alone. Let's make Him a helper. Right. He puts Him in sleep. He does it, ladies, this is awesome. He doesn't make another lump of clay. And connect the two. He reaches into man. He reaches into the fullness of God in man. And brings out a woman. Out of the man, of him. He takes what was one in him and makes it two. So now he has two, so two can become one and cover the earth with his glory. You read your Bible. He looks and he goes, wow, I bless this. This is awesome. I bless this. It says he made both male and female in his likeness, in his image, and he blessed them. Both male and female in his image. What's man's created value? Image of God. What's female's created value? Serve man. No. Image of God.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Image of God. He says, be fruitful and right away, we think sexual thoughts and having kids. He's talking about the image. The whole context of created creation in the text is the image. Both male and female in his image. Whoa, now he has a comparable helper. Now he had, woohoo, be fruitful and multiply. What's he saying? Multiply the image. Seed time and harvest time, first law in the Bible. Seed time and harvest time. Eat seed after its own. Whoa. Think about this, guys. This is intense. And then Jesus comes. Yeah, in due time. He comes. If we're not careful, we turn him into a doctrine we serve, a figure we honor. Instead of a restoration of a life we were created for, he came and fulfilled what man failed. He came and modeled life and showed us what life looks like in the Father. He didn't say, sing to me and pray to me when you're overwhelmed and in trouble. He said, follow me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah? Don't you turn him into a doctrine. Don't you turn him into a religion. Don't you make him the way to heaven. He's the way back to the Father. He's the way back to family, back to the beginning. He takes you back to the beginning. He's the redemption of man. I looked up that word too. It means brought back, bought back to original value. The redemption of man. He brought you back to the beginning, apart from sin, before sin. Oh, the tree's still there and the serpent's still whispering. Follow him. Yeah? Come on. Don't turn this into a doctrine you serve. Don't let church attendance take the place of knowing him.
Come on.
Get to know him and become his church. Don't get so good at church that we fail to become her.
Right.
Yeah. I'm excited. I calmed down enough to communicate, but that's it. This is as calm as you're getting me. You say you can't be that excited. 22 years, it's getting worse. Do you know why it's getting worse? 22 years? Because I get to know him more. And he isn't a doctrine, and I'm not trying to believe in the Lord. He's inside of me every day. Yay. He made me free from myself and me and making me free from me made me free from you. So now you can't break my heart or hurt me anymore. And then all I have left to do is love you because I didn't wake up to need you.
Yeah. Right.
I woke up to be like him. So my troubles are over. Still have trials and circumstantial stuff and people still make mistakes and things come and go. But truth made me free.
Right. Praise
and the gospel taught me to never wake up again, ever again for me. Not to wake up for what he can do for me, not to pray for a better day, not to search my Bible for promises of blessing. Too many people let down living that way. Then they're weighing their spirituality by answered prayers and blessings instead of transformed life and nature and heart. Come on. We'll stretch you a little and challenge you and encourage you all in the same time. I'm going to do heart surgery and smile the whole way through it. No blood, no pain, new heart. It's going to be fun. Scalpel? No. Be honest with me. So many messages we preach. So many. I don't know, Pastor. I just met Pastor. I'm not reflecting in this church. I'm talking body of Christ. When I say we, I'm talking nationwide. So many messages are beneficial. They preach because people want to hear them because they serve me. They benefit me. They bless me. They give something to me. And if we're not careful, we've made the gospel to serve us and forgot it's here to transform us. The gospel's not here to meet all my needs. Some needs are wants. Some needs are idolatry. Some needs are just deciding your disposition. That's idolatry. Sometimes you're only good as things are going instead of as good as He is and who you're called to be. And all of a sudden you're only okay if the prayer answer comes. That's idolatry. That's making something matter more that doesn't matter most. Come on, you got a lot of discouraged people that attend church. And we say we're looking for more, but He's come. The stone's rolled away. The Spirit of God is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we're saying, but we need more. He's here. Like in all you're getting, Proverbs 4, not some, all. In all you're getting, get understanding. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We ought to get understanding. The answer's here. The truth's come. And the truth makes you free. Wow. Jesus said, forgive them, Father. They don't know. Probably ought to get the blindness off. Probably ought to say, whoa, wow, He came for a reason. Yeah. What'd He come for? Came to get the lie off of us. To get us out of living for ourselves. Praying for only ourselves. Becoming a Christian for ourselves. There's people that are Christians for their sake. That's why it's so tough. If you're a Christian for you, you're in trouble. Big trouble. It's not a self-serving gospel. It's not a gospel that serves me. It transforms me. If any man come after me, Matthew 16, let him first deny himself. How can you be a Christian for yourself if the first thing you do is deny yourself? Great. Yeah. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God, then how can we seek for ourselves? What do you seek first? Kingdom of God. You got to think for the kingdom of God. You got to understand that you and I were never made for ourselves. We were made for the image of God. And the biggest lie on the planet is men waking up, living for themselves, trying to make their day, get their day to go better, get people to like them, get life to serve them, get their ducks in a row, get their bank account set, get the car of their dreams and the spouse of their dreams. And all that. And then we incorporate God into all that vision and try to get Him to help it come along. You're supposed to give Him your life. Pastors say, this gospel will cost you everything. I don't ever preach that. The only thing it costs you is what you never were in the first place. You just give back the lie so you can get the truth. Yeah. So give back self-centeredness. Give back all about me. If you really understand what it means to deny yourself, your days of moody are over. Anxiety, fear, anger, frustration, jealousy, pride. Listen, none of that is normal in the kingdom of God. The only reason we've become that way is because we were trained that way, because every man's thinking for himself. From the time you can remember, it was all about you, and you didn't even know that. You just woke up one day with awareness at whatever age you can remember back to, and you needed love, you needed acceptance, you needed valued, you needed to fit in, you needed encouraged. And life was all about you. Why? Because when man ate the tree, everything he was created to be was lost, and it was the day he died. Everything he was made to be was lost through sin and separation from God. So Jesus came and became the lion, became like us so we could become like him. This thing is amazing called the gospel. It's what's wrong with me. Seriously, it is so fun to wake up in the morning and have no one owe you anything every day. My wife doesn't owe me a thing. You say, oh, no, she doesn't owe me a thing. I love her. If she's struggling, I ought to love her more. If she does wrong, I ought to cry for her because she probably isn't seeing clear. Probably not the day to get frustrated and angry and mad because nobody owes you anything when you love. Love owes no man anything but to love. It takes no account of a suffered wrong and it doesn't seek its own. Wonder if I love you, do you love me, is a lie. Wonder if all that is I love you for me. I love you for how you make me feel. I love you for identity and support. Please don't ever break my heart. You mean everything to me. And then the recipient of that, if they're not healthy in school, oh, and they're finding their identity through you needing them. And we call it love, but there's a lot of pain there in a lot of folks for a lot of generations. Love takes no account of the wrong done to it. Why do we have our issues remembered? Why does our go-through sound like a court case on record? You got all the details. And then they, and after that, and 3 weeks later, and then at 9:45. Come on! And all of a sudden you're allowing how things are going to decide who you are and how you are instead of who he is inside of you. And then we go sing He's Lord and we're letting other things dictate our lives. And see, this isn't evil, it's just deceived. It's not hypocritical, it's just we don't have understanding. And we've been taught that he's just here to make my world spin and my day go brighter. No, he's here to make me more like him. The reason Holy Spirit's in me is to make me more like him. He's the great potter, we're the clay. Come on guys, start yielding. Yeah? Woo! Yeah? If not, you'll have these kind of lines. Well, I'd be in a better place if it wasn't for. Well, you know, I'd be doing better if it wasn't for. But the problem is the wasn't for isn't Lord. So why is it governing and deciding your life? Why is it deciding who you are and how you are? Be honest with me, you ask the average Christian how they're doing, they'll tell you their two biggest trials and say, keep me in prayer. That means we're deciding who we are by how it's going. And we're striving to get more faith to change how it's going instead of who we are. When you squeeze an orange, what do you get? Be pretty weird if it was apple, wouldn't it? You'd spit it back in the cup, wouldn't you? Because it's orange. And you'd call a friend and tell them it was apple juice. They'd say, what were you drinking? Be honest with me. If you squeezed an orange and it was apple juice, is that weird? Yeah. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Yeah. Man, that ought to be weird. Christ where? Christ where? Christ in me. The hope of glory. Christ in me. Wonder if the enemy's learned to squeeze us and find out what we understand and don't understand. Wonder if the enemy's just decided to put a little pressure. Wonder if he's not really impressed with our songs. Wonder if he's not impressed with our service and our worship and our ministry assignments. Wonder if he's not bothered by that at all. Wonder if he just squeezes a little and proves that we don't understand who we are and why. Wonder if you could actually live vulnerable and be destroyed for the lack of, not because you opened the door and gave the devil, but wonder if the lack of knowledge is all it is. So in all you're getting, not some of you're getting, Proverbs 4, it's one of my favorite scriptures. that plus 100 and a few more. In all you're getting, get what? Understanding. What'd you grow up hearing? Well, what you don't know won't. What a lie from hell. The language you grew up with isn't the language in the book. Well, what you see, brother, is what you get. Don't you ever live by what you see. What you see is subject to change. What is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4. Well, if I were you, I wouldn't get my... See, you all heard that way up here in Corey, PA. Universal language. Made it all the way up here through these mountains. Not getting your hope up. Well, faith is the substance of things. So if you don't get your hope up, faith's having a really tough day. Hebrews 6. Hope is the anchor of your soul passing through the veil into His presence. So if you don't get your hope up, you don't even have an anchor for your soul. We've all heard these phrases growing up. Well, brother, you made your bed. Now you have to. He made me a brand new bed. It's got the cleanest sheets. And He's in it with me. Yay. So don't sleep in that old bed you made. Nasty old sheets. Get in the new bed. Yay. Are you guys okay, or am I too flaky right now? Because I feel silly for some reason. I don't know why. I'm usually not quite this silly. Sometimes a little bit, but not quite. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault Jesus loves us. Guess what He loves? It's not that He has this special ability to get over where you've been and what you've done. He's love. God is love. He loves what He created you to be, and love never fails, so He's never lost sight of who we are and what we're called to and created for. So the cross doesn't expose your sin. The cross removes your sin to expose your value, that He wanted to die for you. You sang it tonight, man. He came because He wanted to. Why? Because He knows your destiny, purpose, and potential. And He says, my death is worth you coming alive. Because I know what you look like when I'm in you and you're surrendered. And that's worth paying for. So the cross is all about your value. Now watch, no pastor in my whole life ever told me that. Every pastor growing up told me that Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner and I'm always going to sin and I need the forgiveness of sin and I need to stay in church because one day He's coming, and if I ain't in church when He comes... That's what I was taught my whole life. And the cross was always about my sin. Nobody ever told me the cross was about my value. Right. It's in your Bible if you look at the Word of God. The Lamb of God who... He took it away. Now what? I guess we ought to live righteous, accepted, received. Right. Probably loved, His, yay. Hello? Here's a good analogy. Who pays a high price for nothing? Come on, I know you people. I just met you, but I know you. You're bargain hunters. You're yard sale people, a lot of you. You don't write the check unless you're sure you're getting a good buy. And when you write the check, almost always you believe what you're getting is well worth the price. I know you ladies, you don't go, you know that's pretty blouse. Yeah, but it's $75. Yeah, I know. What do you think it's worth? 40 tops, but I'd pay 30 maybe. That's 75. I know, but it's beautiful. I want it. Rarely do people do that. People in their mind think it's worth 40, and they're trying to knock it down to 32. Guys, you know what we do with car? Every car, every guy that ever bought a car is sure that the car salesman guy ain't even eating next week. You're like, come in, I got him rock bottom, baby. I got the deal of the century. Come on, man. Whoever walked up to a car, it's marked 12.5. 12.5, that's a nice car. You look in Blue Book. Woo. 12.8, 12.5. Tell you what, bud, I'll give you 14. You look in Blue Book, 12.8, 12.5, you're going to come up with some reason to offer 12.1, 11.9. Absorb my taxes and cover my transfer fees. Come on, am I telling the truth? Who would pay 14 if it's marked 12.5? Why? It's not worth it. Why would you pay 14 if it's marked 12.5? It's not worth it. But he shed his blood for you and me. The shedding of the blood of the Son of God marks what you're worth to him. It speaks of your value. But we have this problem. Our lives lived don't speak of value. Speak of shame, regret, memory, flesh, stuff. So we got to let him buy out yesterday to give you your present and things to come. Because now you can't look back anymore because you're his. You're not Lot's wife, you're his. And there's one thing you do to obtain. Forget what lies behind. So it's not anymore about what your dad did and didn't do and what Uncle Charlie and... It's, wow, I'm so glad you came and intervened and rescued me out of the darkness, spared me and snatched me out of the flames. And God, you're putting a new heart and a new mind in me. Nobody can make up for yesterday. You gave me a new day. I was touched wrong when I was 8. Nobody can touch me, retouch me, take it back is what I mean. That's what people say. Well, I was touched wrong when I was 8. Wonder if I was touched wrong when I was 4. See? I know what I'm talking about. Wonder if my dad never said I love you because he was an alcoholic. Wonder if. Wonder if it isn't about what I've been through at all. Wonder if this is all about him and what he's been through to give me something new. Why am I always trying to bring him through my stuff when he wants to bring me through his? I think we get it backwards. We're trying to bring him in to heal us from when we were 6. And now you're 36. I think he wants to take the 36-year-old through him.
Right.
And wipe out the 6. Because you're 36. You say, yeah, but brother, you don't know what I've been through. What an unfair question to say. Comment to make to yourself. Because what you're saying is what I've been through is deciding me. What about what he's been through? Doesn't that count for anything? Because here's the dilemma. You don't say I'm being insensitive. You listen to me out here. You hear me out. You say, but you don't know what I've been through. You're being insensitive. No, no, no. Stop. Wait. Wonder if all of us have to take that initiative now and it's about what we've all been through. And the whole room agrees to that. Now we got to go around and find out who's been through the most hell. Then what? Then what? Make a list? Hell. Most hell. A lot of hell. Really a lot of hell. Pretty good hell. And have your names and see who's been through. Top rank 50, hell. And then go to Sunday church and sing all about heaven on the earth. And make what your life was like more important than what he wants to turn you into. See? The just have to live by faith. You have to wrap faith around this thing and say, you know what? Maybe I was touched wrong when I was 4. Maybe my dad never said, I love you. But none of that matters because they're all dry cups. None of those things are in the realm of life. He's in the realm of life. If I keep trying to drink from a dry cup, of course I'm thirsty. But if I take one drink from this well, I will never thirst again. Yeah? Come on. So I guess my dad doesn't owe me anything. I guess he can't make up for all those years. I guess that person can't change a thing about what happened when I'm 4. I bet none of that can go away, but he can make things new. And all of a sudden he can cause me to look at a new man in new eyes through a new mirror. And all of a sudden it ain't about a boy that was touched and a boy that wasn't touched. All of a sudden it's about Christ in me. The hope of glory. and the just shall live by faith. Yeah? Come on, I'm on you a little bit now. So why don't you die to you so you can live to Him? Why don't you never again, ever again say, well, you don't know what I've been through now that He's been through so much. I wonder if Jesus took that initiative. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Pour my life out for people and they don't appreciate me. I mean, I heal the sick and they try to call me a demon-possessed man. I fed their hungry bellies. I did no wrong. They released Barabbas. Can you believe that? Barabbas kills a man and I raise a man from the dead and they want to crucify me and let him loose. I'll tell you, they are so offensive. I don't even know. If they didn't change by now, I don't think they're ever going to change. I'll tell you, life is just not fair. You bend your back and bend over and do good. People just treat you like a doormat. They just self-centered, live at your expense, and eat you alive if you let them. Could you even imagine Jesus talking like that? You know why we couldn't? Because we think He was special. We say He's, yeah, but that was Jesus. He's not like that. Let me tell you why He can't think like that. Because He's love. It's not because He's Jesus. It's because He's love. He could be Jesus, and if He wasn't love, He'd think like that. What makes Him God is He's love. So would you agree that we're saying things He never taught us? Would you agree we've been homeschooled in the wrong home? Yeah. Would you agree that we were born into Adam, Romans 5, and we ought to get born? Somehow we turned that into a blessing that benefits us or a passport to heaven instead of heaven coming into us and changing us from the inside. All of a sudden it's positional. Yeah, I prayed the prayer, brother. All of a sudden, our whole push is to get fish in the boat, pray the prayer, go to heaven, instead of heaven into people and lives transformed. All of a sudden, we're trying to get the whole world to pray the prayer. Well, what happens if the whole world prays the prayer and we don't become love? Well, then we'll just all go to church without becoming her, and long run, we'll look like the world that doesn't believe in Him, because we'll be just as angry, just as frustrated, just as discouraged, just as bent out of shape, just as... I think we're supposed to put off the old man. I read these scriptures somewhere. Like Colossians 3. Put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of the very one who created him. Believe and be baptized. What? Baptized. You die in the likeness of his death, so you raise in the newness of life. You die to sin once and for all. You reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Die, live. Right? Come on. Yay. We've turned it into a take me to heaven thing. If you die tonight and don't know where you're going, pray this prayer. We're riddled with that mindset. But you can still wake up and be mad at your boss. Still be praying for a new job because you're ticked off at your coworkers and can't take them anymore. But you go to church and you raise two hands high because one day you're going to heaven. Not the point. The point is heaven coming into you and you and me being the body of Christ and shining as a light and walking in the light as He's in the light. And if any man says he abides in Him, 1 John 2, he ought to walk even as He walked.
So I guess my days of frustration complaining are over. Yeah. Yay!
He tells you not to complain. Don't you complain like they did in the wilderness and were destroyed by the destroyer, devoured by the devourer. Don't you complain. Philippians 2. Do all things without grumbling and so that you shine as an innocent light in the midst of a twisted up world who's thinking for themselves and you hold forth the word of life. It's Philippians 2. I got so much scripture on this. It's ridiculous. I've been reading my Bible. Yay. I like you. It's your fault. You guys all right?
Yeah.
Come on, man. This is what Christianity is. This is why God sent His Son. Listen, God did not send His Son. He's a blesser, our God, our own God. Psalm 67 will bless us. You don't have to spend an ounce of time and energy for blessing. Blessing is being made right with God. Blessing is believing you're forgiven and you wear righteousness. Blessing is being accepted in the Beloved. Blessing is not carrying the care of life, but thinking for the kingdom and starting to love people instead of need people.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the most free day of your life is when you stop living for you when you weren't created for you. If you would just stop living for you, it's an amazing transition and change. Look, do you put metal in a microwave? Why? There's some scientific reason. I can't explain that, Mr. Worship Leader. But if you put metal in a microwave, it's not good results. Did you ever do it by accident? Did you ever just leave a... I put a plate in there one time, completely had foil wrapped around it. Just not thinking. I hit the timer. You don't know what's going on. Do you ever just leave a fork on the plate and you hit it? Who's ever put metal in a microwave by accident? Is it reactionary?
Yeah.
If you read the manufacturer's handbook, you're not to put metal in a microwave. And if you do it by mistake, you quickly hit the door and go, whoa, and it sharpens you to not do it again. But what would happen if you continue to put metal in that microwave when it wasn't made for metal? It would what? Blow up. I read your lips. Blow up. That's a pretty easy one, isn't it? She's... It was good. I could read that. She's participating. I love it. She's right. If you kept putting it in there, you'd blow up the microwave. Why? It wasn't made for metal. You read the manufacturer's handbook. Where did men come from? Who manufactured man? You go ahead and keep living for yourself when you're made for His image and see what happens to your life. If any man, that means we're all invited. If any man, Ben, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. Why? The biggest lie on the planet. The biggest lie on the planet. Is men waking up for themselves when they're made for God's image. Men living at the expense of others when love lays down its life for others. Men needing others to be things so they're okay when love gives and serves. There's something perverse going on. And all of a sudden, in today's Christian world, you can preach messages that receive Him and allow you to stay the same. The glory of the gospel is the change. The glory of the gospel is you not wanting to be for you anymore. That's where care comes from. That's where anxiety comes from. That's where fear comes from. That's where insecurity comes from. You thinking for you, living for you, pursuing for you. You be real with me. If you wake up in the morning and teach yourself through prayer and the truth of God's word, and you wake up in the morning and sincerely, this is your deal, no one owes you anything. That changes your day. All of a sudden, you're not praying for a new job. You're shining on the one that's unfair. I just need to get out of there. I'm so run down by the end of the day. I'm hearing F-bombs. I can't take it anymore. God, you need to give me a new job. I pray He balls and chains you at that job till you get a revelation. Because what you're going to do is feel sorry for you. Decide who you are and how you are and get tricked into singing how amazing God is and everything else matters more. And He gives you a new job. And then there's something not okay at that job. Come on, if we treated our kids that way, we'd say we're spoiling them. Yeah. We'd say, shame on you, parent. And then we expect God to do that for us. Do you think God wants to give you a new job because you can't stand your boss? God doesn't want to give you a new job because you can't stand your boss. He wants you to get a revelation on why you're on the job and begin to love your boss and shine and be Jesus to your boss.
Right.
Come on, if you're treated unfair, aren't you to be merciful? He said, be merciful, for I am merciful. Did God forgive us of all our sins? So shouldn't we become living, breathing forgiveness? We were forgiven of everything we've ever done. Shouldn't we forgive men of what they've done? He said, if we don't, we're evil and wicked servants. We just want our cake and don't want to become. We want blessing and don't want to. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. Wonder if God took that mindset for one day. Yeah, but you don't know what they put me through. Wonder if God was saying that. So you have to learn where you learned the language. And if you didn't learn it from Him, and He's the good teacher, and don't let anyone be your teacher but Him, if He ain't saying it, we ought to not be saying it. If you can't find it coming out of His mouth, let's get it out of ours. Come on. Yeah, but they should have never. Well, you don't know how it felt. Well, it was a long time. Human rightness, human reasoning, and self-centered living taught us how to talk like that. That's the only reason you have a language, guys. Jesus, He's a lamb to the slaughter. He's not saying a word. Could you picture Jesus going to the cross, or to Golgotha with the cross on His back? Guys, do you understand He's beat beyond description? Do you understand that Isaiah 52 says He was marred more than any of the sons of men? That means when they were done beating Him, He looked worse at the hands of men than any man was ever left. Marred more than any. You burn somebody on a stake, toasty, crispy, burned toast, and now the fire smolders. Can you tell if they're even a man or a woman? Can you tell who was there in the first place? Jesus was marred more than any of the sons of men. You take the worst barbaric, sadistic things that people have done to people, and it says Jesus came out looking worse. That's in your Bible. And it means something. Here's something to think about. He didn't deserve a bit of it, and He was totally pure and completely perfect. Come on, when we're pure and our pure gets called impure, we freak out. When our good is called evil, we freak out, cat in a corner, self-defense, trying to gain support. Come on. Why? Because we're very alive in ourselves. Very, very much caring about what people think in the wrong way. And I'm not talking about, well, I don't care what people think. No, you've long cared. Well, first of all, let me just finish this point, and then I will finish Jesus on the cross. The reason He was beat beyond description, the reason He was beat beyond description to where you couldn't recognize Him, is because when sin got done with Adam in the garden, He didn't look anything like He was created to be. He completely lost His appearance, and everything He was made to be died. So Jesus came and lost His appearance to pay the price for us to get our identity back. And the glory of God once again could live inside of man, as if man never sinned. Do you understand that the Spirit of God is inside of me? Because He wants to be. He's not spraying Febreze.
He cleaned house. And He moved in. House fit for prime real estate. He sold the farm for me, man. Woo! And you think I'm not going to live by faith and catch this thing? Before the foundation of the world, He adopted me in as a son. And even though I was born into Adam and didn't look nothing like God, lived for myself for 33 years, He had His eyes fixed on me and drew me and wooed me to Him. And where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And all of a sudden He came and revealed, this thing isn't about the sins I committed. It's about the destiny I'm created for. He took care of the sins I committed. Now let's get on with the destiny.
Here's the biggest mistake we make. We think our ability to sin leaves us as sinners. We think our ability to fail makes us failures. We ought to get over that and get after righteousness and start going after His will and purpose and find how well you can run empowered by grace. I didn't wake up afraid to sin today. I woke up to be like Him.
Right.
Yay. And when you fix your eyes on righteousness, guess what it does? Produces His fruit to holiness without you biting your lip trying to be holy. If I believe I'm a son, guess what I'll start living like? You make a tree good, guess what the fruit is? Without me trying hard. Why? You are what you are by the grace of God, and all glory goes to God. There is no boasting in men. Yeah? So let's take Jesus on the cross. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine Jesus heading to the cross and He starts having an analytical moment? And He says, because some people say, well, I'm just very analytical. Please be careful with that. I understand intellect, high IQ. Go ahead, call that gifting. That's fine. Call that from the Lord. Analytical, it's not a gift. What do you mean, Dan? God never gave you the ability to talk yourself out of Him. That happened when Eve got deceived and Adam followed her instead of God. Opposite voices. Really? But you know, just well, yeah. And now you're thinking so deep, you've lost the simplicity, and all of a sudden you're complex. It's not a gift. Analytical. Just rationalizing and getting analytical. Watch. Jesus having an analytical moment. Can't believe they released Barabbas. I mean, how much am I supposed to take? I mean, it's enough they beat me beyond description, but Barabbas, I mean, that is the straw that's breaking the Savior's back here. I don't know how much I can take. Seriously, you put us in His shoes, we don't even make it near that far.
Right.
We're done way long ago. The first day He preached, you know what it looked like in Luke 4? He opens the scroll, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. They're like, whoa, authority, do you feel that? Whoa, where'd He get this stuff? Ain't that Mary's boy? Oh, he's awesome. Hey, is He talking about us? Yeah, kill Him. They're amazed as an authority. They're amazed at how He's carrying Himself. And then they perceive He's talking about them, and now they try to kill Him. Touchy crowd. Yeah. So they're in the temple. They're in the synagogue. They're there. On the day He opens the scroll, it's the temple, it's synagogue, it's the Sabbath. And He's preaching. They're there because it's right to be there. Habit, tradition, whatever. But they don't want to repent, and they don't want nobody talking about what they need to change. Remember when He talked to the Pharisees in Matthew 23? He said, so upon you will come all the righteous blood that was ever shed, from the righteous blood of Abel to Zechariah, whom you murdered. Son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the porch and the temple. I'm reading that 20 years ago. And I'm going, 21 years ago I'm reading that. I'm saved 22. I'm like, Jesus, that doesn't seem real fair. You're telling them guys that they murdered Zechariah, but that was 700 years ago. They were 700 years later. How did they murder Zechariah? And He was showing me it's a spirit that men live in. It's a mindset. If they were there 700 years before, they would have too. I looked up the story. You know when they murdered Zechariah, son of Berechiah, between the porch and temple? You know what happened? It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah. And he stood and he called men to the altar. And he was calling them to repentance, and that the Lord would say, and He was telling them to let their hearts be transformed and come to the altar and be changed. And they were in the synagogue. They were at church. God was calling them to the place of repentance, to the altar. And they said, listen, you ought to be glad we're at church. Get off our back. Hush up with it already. Spirit of the Lord's upon Zechariah. He keeps calling him to the altar. So they stoned him and killed him. So they had a total conscience to go to the temple and say they were God's people. But when God called them to become like Him, they killed the message. But the message never died. Just poor old Zechariah. Ain't that something? Isn't that something? Why has it changed? It's not changed. Repent. Change the way you think. The kingdom of God is here. Get a brand new language. Look, if Jesus is the new wine, if God poured out new wine through His Son Jesus, and He's the new and living way and the new covenant through His blood, well, then we ought to become new wineskins if we're going to hold new wine. Because you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. You can't incorporate Jesus into your life. He becomes your life. And all of a sudden, your reason for being and the why behind your life changes forever. Yay. And He's not the answer of a blessing. He's the answer of a new life. Could you picture Jesus dropping the cross on the way up the mountain to Golgotha and looking up at the Father, battered, and you can't even tell who He is anymore? Look at me. Look at what they've done to me. How much am I supposed to take? How much can one man take? They don't appreciate a thing I've done. Even the ones you gave me to surround me the last 3 years, as soon as I was struck, they ran too. Look at me, God. How many people do I have to heal? They'll never change. How many miracles? They'll never change. I fed their hungry bellies. I raised their dead. God, if they didn't change by now, they'll never change. I don't know what we see in them. Make a good talk show. He'd be a victim and we're all villains. It would stay that way and everybody loses. But it ain't like that. He's love. Yes. Well-intending pastors say, well, Jesus proved His love by not coming off the cross. He couldn't come off the cross. Love never fails and doesn't change His mind. It's not an option. He's love. He can't come off the cross. He was predestined to go on the cross. He was the Lamb slain. Right. His love's proven by the cross. Not that He didn't come down. See, we live in this world where people are subject to change. He doesn't change. He can't come down. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. It's just amazing. So what did we accomplish? Hopefully we accomplished this. That your life is on purpose. That you're here for a reason. And there's a time to be born. And you're not just here because a man went into a woman one day and you happened. You're here because God saw you before that day. And life comes from God. There is no happenstance. There is no accidents. And watch this. The gospel teaches this. Every mountain's brought down. Every valley's lifted up. There's not one person in this room or on this earth. Watch this. I'll prove this. That's worth less or worth more than another. But we have believed the total opposite and believed a lie our whole lives. And sometimes after we're saved, we still don't get the point. And we think some people are worth more than others. And there's people that go to church and they want God and they believe, but they feel like they're insignificant. They believe like they don't matter. There is not one person on the earth. This isn't fancy talk. I'll prove this in a second. There's not one person on the earth worth less or worth more. How do you know that, Dan? Because you go into Walmart, you got barcodes, you got price checks. And you got all kinds of stuff on that computer. Why? Because you got all kinds of products on the shelf and you got all kinds of values. But you tell me what price tag is on man, woman, or child. Every human being has the same exact price tag. Why? Because every human being has the same exact value. It's called the kingdom of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't care if you're old, I don't care if you're young, I don't care if you're man, woman, child. You are bought with a price, and the price was the same. Why? Because the purchase possession's the same. The kingdom of God through men. Let me tell you what your highest potential is. And it's not doctor, lawyer, president. Your highest potential is becoming love. It's the highest mark you can hit. Become like him. And I'm going to make a strong, narrow statement in your house tonight. If we miss becoming love, we've done a whole lot of church and missed the whole point. And we've done a whole lot of church and missed becoming like her. If we miss becoming love, we've missed the reason why he came. Above all these things, put on love. It's the bond of perfection. The excellent way, love. If you don't have it, got nothing. Whew. 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. The purpose of the commandment is love through a pure heart, a clear conscience, sincere faith. Guys, if we miss love, we missed why he came. He didn't come to take you to heaven someday. He came to put who he is inside of you. That is heaven.
Yay!
And I'm not going to live impersonal, and I'm not going to live religious, and I'm not going to serve a doctrine. And I'm not going to debate theology over coffee because I don't even drink coffee. Could you imagine me drinking coffee? It probably wouldn't be good. To my knowledge, I've never drank a cup of coffee. It just never was in my home. So then when I got saved, I thought all Christians drank coffee. I thought I was supposed to get born again. I go to people's eyes, I say, you drink coffee? I say, no. They say, what a shame. Last I checked, I'm okay. I just thought, wow, coffee is the biggest thing we Christians do. That's like our transformation. Coffee is the must. It's just funny. I'm not against you drinking coffee. It's none of my business. My business is you becoming love. You know what 1 John 4 says? It's amazing what 1 John 4 says. 7 says, beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because love is of God. And everyone. Who? Everyone.
That doesn't leave anybody out.
Everyone who loveth is born of God and... Watch. If you love, guess why? You know him. Watch. He who loveth not... doesn't know God. He doesn't give... one of three reasons. He just gives one reason. If you don't love, there's one. If you don't love, there's one reason. You don't know God. He doesn't say you don't pastor, you don't lead worship, you don't go to a mission trip now and then. He didn't say you don't serve in a ministry or attend church regularly. He said, if you don't love, there's a reason. You don't know him. You might know all about him. You might see your need for a savior. You might be the most sincerest person on the planet. But if you don't love, there's one reason. You don't know him. That makes it simple. He's opened the door to know him, and that means, watch, that it's impossible for me to know him and have intimacy and relationship and not become like him. He's that profuse.
Yeah.
So if I get to know him, I'll become like him. And it says that if I love, it's because I know him. And if I don't love, it's because I don't. So the goal isn't to attend more services, conferences, and things and wait for the touch. The goal is get to know him. Get alone when you leave here tonight and lift off that veil. Wow, you love me and you made me lovely. God, you created me to never again live for myself. God, I just lay it all down and lay it all aside and I just thank you that you're the way, the truth, and the life, King Jesus, and I'm coming to the Father through you. Thanks for loving me, God. Thanks for making me precious and valuable. I throw away all the lies, the insecurity, the low esteem. I'm done being lied to. I'm done waiting for men to live toward me. I'm going to live toward you and love people.
Whoa. Wonder if you teach yourself through the gospel to wake up and no one owes you anything.
Oh!
It's the freest place we've ever been. What's the two greatest commandments?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And some scriptures say in strength. And love your... And the second is like it. That means he marries the two. He makes them the same. Because this is how we know we love God, when we love one another. Love God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind. And love your neighbor. Wonder if you don't love yourself. Wonder if you don't see yourself clear. Wonder if you have a poor identity and a low esteem. Wonder if you're fault-finding and nitpicky and judgmental and condemned towards yourself. I bet you'll see what's wrong in everybody else. I'll bet you the eye you live from is the eye you look through. And I bet you what you believe about yourself is what you'll see in others. The two greatest commandments that you can hang all the law and the prophets on is love God with everything you are through Him loving you first, and love your neighbor as
yourself.
That means as I see myself clear in Him and through Him, I got the best look at you I've ever had. Because if He sees me this way, surely He sees you this way. And if I have this value, surely you do. Because everyone that cometh. Yay? Come on, guys. How are you going to love your neighbor as yourself if you don't have a clear view of you through him? This is why it's possible to go to church and have hurt. This is why it's possible to go to church and get angry and mad and have bad experiences and then not go to church for years and all that stuff that happens. Because we're missing the whole point. We're trying to find our identity through one another. We're joining movements, trying to find ourselves through the movement instead of through Him. And then we get let down and hurt along the way and get even more insecure and hard and angry and hurt. And the whole time we're singing the right stuff without becoming like Him. And I'm just here to cheer you on and say, don't you ever let that happen to you. See, I didn't come here to tell you who you're not. I came here to tell you who you are. And why He paid this crazy good price. You're worth it to Him. So don't try to talk yourself out of it. He already shed His blood. It's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
What time are we meeting tomorrow? 9:30.
Yeah.
Is anybody coming back or did I run you all off?
No.
Is somebody coming back? There's going to be a couple people? Good, good. Now, I'm not trying to hold you to it. I did see who didn't raise their hands, though. No, I'm just kidding. I have the mind of Christ. You'd be amazed what I saw. The reason I ask that is because, listen, tonight I just stirred your heart to show you what we're called to and called into. Tomorrow morning, I shouldn't tell you this because then I never do that stuff. I think I have good intentions and then I get sidetracked. Holy Spirit's, He's something. Like He knows the room. Like He knows what He would say if He had the mic. So when I pray that way, He makes sure to say what He would say. But here's my intention. To teach you tomorrow morning. To have a real good teaching time tomorrow morning. On how to get to know God more and have intimacy with Him and how easy it is. And how easy it is to become love. It's so easy to become love. The first thing you need is you have to want to. And you say, well, why wouldn't I? A lot of people don't want to become love. They want to hold on to the rights they inherited through the fall of man. They have issues. They have rights. Well, you're telling me, well, if anybody, and I'm supposed to just, well, I ain't nobody's doing, well, ain't nobody going to cheat. Where'd you get that language? Why do you boast in that mentality when you don't see an ounce of that in Jesus? Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. How can you deny yourself and have a bunch of rights? Well, I feel, well, they shouldn't know, well, I'm mad. Well, you can't tell me that was fair. Well, they shouldn't know. Well, how come they always, well, they were born again longer than me. Well, I don't. And all of a sudden, in that language, you're letting people decide who you are and how you are again. And you say, well, somebody needs to hold them accountable. Not you. Certainly not you. Honestly, I've learned this. If you don't love somebody, if I got to know Robert and I didn't love Robert, I really have no authority in God and grace carrying my words. Even if I'm right, all it does is make him wrong.
But if I talk to Robert because I love him and value him and believe he's more than something I see in his life, then I have access by the Spirit of God, and grace will carry my words. Because I'm not setting him straight. I'm cheering him on. I'm not right and he's wrong. Righteous is different than right and wrong. If God came right, we're wrong. But he came righteous, so even though we were wrong, he made us right.
That's amazing. That's why I have such confidence. That's why I'm so excited. Because I'm standing here as if I've never sinned in my life. Seriously. It's that intense. He took it away. He nailed our sin, your and my sin, in his body on a tree. So we, having died to sin, live in righteousness. By his stripes we're healed. Yay. So why do we pray for the sick? So we're going to pray for the sick here in a minute. Why do we pray for the sick? Because they're sick? No, because of the forgiveness of sins. Because God took away the fall and the effects of the fall and everything about the fall. He took away the perversion through taking away sin. He brought the effects of sin to nothing. So we eat the flesh and drink the blood and receive life. Why do we pray for the sick? Where's faith come to pray for the sick? The forgiveness of sins. By his stripes we are healed. What brings the healing? Understanding that he's merciful and he's loving and he forgave us. Man, if you don't understand that, we're trying to get healed. We're reading all the books. We're into works. We're trying to emphasize Jesus. Really? In the name of Jesus. We're blowing extra shofars, pitches, and trying to hit things that only heaven knows. Maybe this color. Maybe this color. It's got any other colors? By his stripes. By stripes, we are healed.
Yes.
It's the forgiveness of sins that gives us access to him and releases who he is into our lives. You receive healing because he loves you and he paid a price for your redemption. You don't receive healing because you prayed right. You receive healing because he loves you and you believe it. We believe. You say, Dan, I don't like that, because if I don't get healed, then I'm not believing he loves me. No, no, no. These signs follow those who... So I don't put anything on a sick person. They got enough going already if they're sick. All right, well, you need to go get more faith. Well, what about your faith? You said Jesus lives in you. How about giving him to me? It's amazing how we make everybody responsible for their own faith and don't hold ourselves to faith. The Bible says if we believe, we'll say to the mountain, and the mountain will what? So let's stop waiting for the sick people to believe. Let's just start believing and pray for the sick. Let's start believing that what he did was enough. Let's get our hands on a whole lot of people, because we'll see things happen. Do you know the number one reason Christians don't pray for the sick? They're afraid nothing will happen. So guess what they have? What they're afraid of. By not praying for the sick, you already have nothing. That's a bummer. That's what happened with Goliath and the armies of Israel. They were in covenant, and little David came. They're losing by default. Every day he's standing there hurling threats, and because nobody faced him, they already lost. And yet they already won because they... Yeah? If they did, somebody would have just faced him. So for what was it, 40 days? He's hurling threats at the armies of Israel. And he had no covenant with God. And little David, young David, understood that and stepped up and faced a giant. And it wasn't David that beat the giant. It was covenant.
Right, right.
So because they didn't face him, they lost by default when they already won because of covenant. Ain't that something? It's 9 o'clock already. We're gonna pray for the sick tonight just because I want to. I think you guys want to. You guys have seen the sick healed in this place. There's a lot of visitors though. I know you have. There's a lot of visitors though, and there's things here that need to change, right? In your bodies. Who would tell me if God was gonna heal in this room tonight, you have something that would be awesome if it was healed, that you would be a recipient, that you are in that position to need healing in your body. Who would that be? Anybody? Okay, good. Do you guys know who Randy Clark is?
Yeah.
Randy Clark's so funny. He said, now, as I traveled over the years, he's just the best. He says, as I traveled over the years, I learned that some of these churches are faith churches. And when you ask them who needs healing and who is sick in their body, he said, they won't raise their hand because they feel like it's a bad confession. So you have to say, who in the room is healed waiting for the manifestation?
And he said, and then you get them to raise their hands. He's just a very smart man.
Because people are like, I'm claiming that sickness. Listen. That has nothing to do with nothing. Somehow we got teaching that stuff. Listen. James 5. Is any among you sick? James. How dare you even suggest it? James. Brother of Jesus. Should know better.
I'm making it sound as silly as I can so you don't do it anymore. Is any among you sick? Let them ask. If you couldn't say you weren't feeling well, how could you ever ask? Well, brother, I need you to pray for me.
I mean, I'm blessed coming in, going out in the head, not the tail. You know what I mean. I just want you to agree with me. You know what I mean.
Thank you, man. I'm tearing this up, ain't I?
What is your name?
Robin.
Robin. So watch. So I go by Robin today, and I say, hey, Robin, you're awesome. That would be true. How are you doing? Say she's sitting here and her head is hurting so bad that it feels like her skull done already cracked and split. And yet Robin sucks it up in the spirit. How you doing, Robin?
I'm blessed coming in and going out, Dan. Ha! Praise God. Sean, I'm glad you asked me because God's favor's all over my life. Whoa, okay, Robin. Praise the Lord.
That has nothing to do with faith. Watch. Hey, Robin, how you doing, girl? Doing good? Well, Dan, can I talk? Yeah, what's up? You know, I'm glad you asked. You know, right now I have a headache. It feels like my head's split, and I know God loves me. I know He paid a price for my redemption. But, man, it's really hurting, and I was wishing you'd hold hands with me, pray, and agree that this thing would leave because I know He loves me. That's faith.
Yeah.
She's not claiming it. She's saying, I know it ain't God. So pray with me, Dan. People come up to the altar and what do you want me to pray for? Well, I don't want to claim it. Wait, so I'm supposed to just wait for Holy Spirit to claim it?
I'm on you good tonight for some reason. I don't usually get on this stuff too much. There's some of this in the room we need to talk about a little bit here. Are you guys okay? Don't get offended. If you're a Bible teacher, don't you get offended at me. Come on.
Listen, be careful with that stuff. Well, I just don't want to claim it, brother. Listen, we got so much teaching out there when it comes to healing that a lot of altar ministers, just in their conversation getting ready to pray, usually have, through all our teaching, three good reasons why it won't happen before they pray. Wow, I hear fear in their voice. Wow, that's a little negative. Wow, they're just they called it my arthritis. No wonder. And then because you're in that position, you pray anyway, but you're already stripped of faith because you're letting what they don't see determine what you do see. And all of a sudden, you're not even the believer in the equation anymore because you let them decide what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, Jesus is waylaid by all this information. And then you pray and nothing happens and you say, well, I knew that because they got a lot of issues. They need to really... Let me get you a booklet. You show me one person Jesus prayed for and said, bummer. I've never had an empty gun before. It must be your negativity. I knew you shouldn't have said that.
They didn't even know who Jesus was. They put him on a cross. And he healed everybody that he touched. And they didn't even know who he was. The Pharisees asked this one man that was sick for 38 years. Who was it who told you to carry him out and healed you on the Sabbath? Said the man could answer not, for Jesus withdrew himself from the crowd. The guy didn't even know who healed him, but he was healed. Don't tell me he had to have faith. Jesus is the revelation. These signs follow those that. Guess what we're called?
Believers. Whoa.
So we probably ought to just start praying for some sick folks, huh? Like when you're out and about, pray for sick people. Sow seeds. Understand how the kingdom works. You say, yeah, but wonder if their pain doesn't go away. Wonder if you never pray for them. Wonder if they don't let me. Wonder if you don't ask. Listen, if love never fails, don't fail to love. The worst they can probably do is say no. Now, I guess they can pull a gun out and shoot you. I don't know. I guess if somebody wants to get technical, but you're not going to die. So put your life on the line. Did you ever do this? I've done this a bunch. Pumping gas. Hey, man, how are you doing today? Huh? What? Well, it'd be better if I didn't have to go to blank and blank and work. Well, yeah. Well, man, thank God you have a job. I mean, I'd be probably, what do you do? Wow, that's hard on your body, ain't it? Listen, I was just going to say, man, this is awesome how these gas prices are holding, ain't? I mean, you're doing that job and doing that work. It's good these things ain't up to $3 like it used to be, or $3.50. Well, up here it is high. Back home, I'm only paying $2.35. What is it up here anyway? I just seen $2.65 out there. I was like, what? But watch this. So you say to him, you say, listen, that's a pretty physical job, man. How's your back and hips and stuff? How's your knees? Shot. No way. Listen, man, get it on that little automatic thing. Listen, I don't want to get too far from the pump. You ain't supposed to walk away the pump. Listen, man, I want to see your hand. Come on. What's your name? Billy. What a blank you want my hand for? Just give me your hand, man. We're at a pump. Probably got a camera on us. Ain't nothing weird. Just give me your hand. It's going to be good. He's like, hey, don't know what you're doing. You're like, what do you want my hand for? Is it a trick? You want to read my palm? Be Billy for me. No, I ain't reading your palm. Thanks, Billy. Father, I just thank you right now for your amazing love for Billy. God, I thank you. You make every part of his body whole. Take all the pain away. God, thank you for your love for Billy in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that can't be that hard to be sincere and believe that. And Billy, he's like, what the blank? Or, even if he's what the blank, watch. He can't help but to realize you're sincere. And when you get in your car and drive away and didn't sell him nothing, didn't take an offering or invite him to pray a prayer or nothing, you just loved him because your number one seed to sow is love. And now he ain't a fish and you're trying to get him in your boat. They're on to us, guys. We got evangelistic strategies. We're trying to get them to head nod us. Where did we get this? Hey, if you die tonight, do you know where you're going? Here, pray with me. 4 weeks later, they'll come out of the bar with a woman that ain't their wife. Hey, do you want, oh no, I prayed that prayer over in that corner with a guy 5 weeks ago, but thanks for caring. The goal is not getting them in a list that takes them to heaven someday. The goal is getting heaven into them. New life through Jesus Christ. Dead to the old, alive to the new. Water baptism. Holy Ghost. Shabba. Yeah? So Billy, the least that can happen is you say, how you feeling, man? Check your body. Well, I'll know more when I get to work. My hip feels a little tight still. Man, listen, man, I prayed for you. I know you didn't see that coming, but Jesus loves you, man, and so do I. I wouldn't have asked, and I wouldn't have prayed, and I wouldn't have did it if I didn't think nothing would happen. Love you, man. Have a great day at work. And you drive off. He don't owe you a thing, and you didn't ask nothing. The worst Billy can think at that point is that you were sincere. That's the worst. You say, well, what if his body doesn't change? He at least looked into the eyes of somebody that's pursuing something, believing something, and not ashamed of it.
Amen.
Yes. Wonder if his body does change.
That's right.
Do you know how many Billies I've seen? Blankety blank blank, and you let go of their hand and look, and they're looking at you and go, what the blank? What'd you just do? It ain't what I just did, man. About 2,000 years ago, somebody amazing did something amazing. His name's Jesus, Billy.
Yeah.
He lives in me, man.
Yeah.
He wants to live in you. Check your body a little. What the? Are you? What the? When's the last time you did that? It's got to be 10 blanking years. Billy. No, it's just real like that out on the street. It would be 10 blanking years, man. Well, listen, Billy, did you consider something? That's God doing that for you. Man, it has to be. I ain't working no magic. I just said hi and asked if I could pray. I care. Jesus taught me how to care for people. I used to go to church and think that was Christianity. Jesus is teaching me loving people's Christianity.
Yeah.
Now listen to me, Billy B. I gotta go. You gotta get to work. So listen. Before I talked to you, you weren't even thinking about God. Now, he thinks a whole lot about you. He's loved you from the beginning. So seek out Jesus, man. Jesus, he's the way. He's the life, the very life of God. If Billy says, how do I get to know him? That's a no-brainer. If Billy says, thanks, man, guess what I just did? I sowed. It's just the beginning for Billy. Somebody's going to water, and guess what?
God brings the increase.
Kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed, goes to bed at night, wakes up and goes, whoa, how do you do it, God? You're amazing.
Yeah.
And sometimes the kingdom of God is if a man scatters a seed, the smallest seed of all. And guess what it grows into? It says, and when it's sown, it grows into the biggest herb of the field. Smallest seed. So I guess no love is too small, huh? Listen, I'm looking at enough faces to touch a society in love. You be honest with me. We go to Salt Church or any other church for the rest of our lives. We can fill up every available space, and going to church will never change the world. Fill in every church building every Sunday will never change the world. But becoming love will. Let's not learn how to go to church and draw our identity from what we do for God. Let's find our identity through him and learn how to be the church. Y'all good? Okay. Tomorrow we'll talk about relationship and intimacy and stuff like that. Right now we got to do something because I told you we're going to pray for the sick and it's already 10 after 12 after 9. Are you okay?
Yeah.
A couple people had to sneak out. It wasn't my preaching. My preaching was way too good, so they didn't leave. It had nothing to do with my preaching, man. My preaching was tearing it up, man. Like, seriously. No, you don't have to clap. It was good, man. I know. Hey, I ain't playing, man. Full of life. I'm just excited, man. You don't have to pat me on the back. Holy Ghost. He's just going to the bathroom. It's not my preaching. I was in a conference. There's about 1,500 people. I just got into preaching. This lady got up and she went the whole way out the back. She got to the door. 1,500 people. She's right back there. I said, excuse me, ma'am, at the door. Is it my preaching? She turned. When she looked at me and I said at the door, "What? Guess what 1,500 heads did? Sorry. I said, is it my preaching? She went, looking at me, looking at her like, what's he doing to this poor lady? I said, are you sure it's not my preaching? I said, are you a Christian? Are you? Yes. I said, oh, good. Then you can't lie. I read in Revelations, if you lie, you fry. It's like 19, chapter 19. So let me ask you a question, Miss Believer. Are you leaving because of my preaching? She said, no. I said, whoo, good. Have a great day, man. At least I know what my preaching. And I just went right back to preaching. And everybody's like, what did he do that to that poor woman for? And I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was just having fun. I preached for 2 straight hours and didn't even breathe, probably. I was inspired. 1,500 people. Here's what I realized. I looked. It was 2 hours.
Not one person moved out of their seat. Nobody left the room. 1,500 people, nobody even went to the bathroom. That is supernatural. Or the fear of the Lord or the fear of Dan. Because nobody moved. And then I'm looking around and I see people like rocking and I'm thinking, this is anointed. And all of a sudden I thought, I bet they got to pee. I said, who here has to go to the bathroom? It was hilarious. It really was that way. It was so funny. I said, well, look, we need to close out and do something quick. Why don't you take a 5-7 minute break? I kept you in your seat long ago and everything was like cattle. It was hilarious. I stopped. One woman had no idea what I was doing, and God just stilled the whole room for 2 hours. I mean, in 1,500 people, it's a lot going on. People in and out, moving around, meeting in the foyer, talking. Nothing. It was fine. Okay, let's do this. We're going to pray for the sick. I want you guys to help me, okay? See, I told Jesus to go in the bathroom. He came back. It wasn't my preaching. They thought you left because of my preaching. I knew it wasn't. When you pray for the sick, listen, I want to try. I'm a teacher, so I want to help you with something on this, and I believe it'll just help. It's been helping a lot of people. It's helped me over the years because, man, I've learned a lot, and I'm still learning a lot. Who's ever prayed for the sick and you got really conscious of what you were saying, how you were praying, and trying to pray right? Be really honest. This is going to help you. Your prayer never has, never will. This is actually encouraging. Your prayer never has, never will heal anybody. It's not your prayer. It's your faith in His finished work and His love for the person. Watch this. Be healed in Jesus' name. It's probably plenty if there's a revelation. Jesus cast out spirits with a word, not a conversation. Right. Not a pop quiz. He said, if I cast out spirits by the finger of God. He didn't even say the strong righteous right arm. He just said the finger of God. If I cast out spirits by the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God is upon you. It says He cast out spirits with a word. Robin, it was probably go. Yeah? Probably go. What do you say to people? Receive your sight. Stretch forth your hand. Get up and walk. They didn't even know who He was. He knew who He was. It wasn't His prayer. It was the authority that came through the revelation. It was the love of God that flowed. You get it? So let's say goodbye to self-consciousness when you're praying. Because if you're trying to pray right, pray hard, pray powerful, you're very self-conscious. And you're trapped in works and don't even realize it. You guys with me? Come on, anybody that's prayed for the sick knows what I'm talking about. You're trying to pray right. You're trying to pray powerful. We even put on our spiritual voice and, Father, I just thank You right now, Father God. A minute ago, you're just talking normal. Father God, I just thank You right now. And I just... I've been around us for 22 years. You guys have taught me, and I've taught myself, how we can be. There's a lot of different sicknesses out there, but there's two different things that you'll experience when you pray for the sick. There's a category of sickness that if they were healed, they'd have no way of knowing because time would need to tell or a test. And that's just the same simple prayer of faith, guys. They might say, I've been out in public already. I stopped a lady a little while back. Excuse me, ma'am. Are you having like tons of trouble with your blood pressure and they can't get it like right? She's like, how do you know that? It's haywire. They can't even get my meds. They don't even know how to... It's through the roof. Why did you ask me that? How do you know? Who are you? I said, no, listen. Jesus, honey. He just showed me that. What? Yeah. It just wigs people out.
It's just fun.
You say you heard that? Yeah, I'm not carrying cares. I cut me off and butted in line and looked at me dirty. What's any of that matter? What matters is Jesus is in me and wants to love people. That's what matters. Right. I travel every weekend. This is a road trip. For the next 12 weeks, I'm on airplanes. For the next 12 weeks. I don't have a road trip. For the next 12 weeks, I'm on airplanes. I love it. People say, well,
travel is, you know what travel is like. People say, well, how are you doing? I could promise you this. Well, you know, I just hope my connection's on time. And man, I don't know how I got stuck in this middle seat. And I don't know, this plane is so small. I can't wait till this flight's up. I probably won't respond that way if they ask me how I'm doing.
I probably have a different answer.
And usually my answer discerns something about them ultimately. And it's just fun. So you pray about this pain in the neck, or you pray about this pain in the knee, and they can check that. But if you pray about that blood pressure, they have to go check that. Or if you pray about that tumor they found when they did their annual exam, they'd have to get another picture because they can't tell it's there. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So some of these things are just simple prayers of faith. So what that would look like, you just say the lady's name is Sally, and you're talking to her, and she says, yes. She said, I do have something I want to pray about. I just got a test, and they found some growths on my ovary and some of them inside in my female area. They want to do a hysterectomy. Wow. Listen, let's just pray, Sally, can we? Yeah. Father, I just thank you for your amazing love for Sally. Every tumor, every growth, you leave her body in the authority of Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you right now. Your unstoppable love for Sally is enough in Jesus' name. Behold, be healed. And God, I thank you for it. Come on, you can do that and be sincere. You can step out and start somewhere and not make it about you and not be self-conscious at all. You can't take the tumors out of her, but you can believe God wants to. You can believe He paid a price. You can at least start somewhere by representing what you believe He paid for. Is this fair?
Yeah.
You've got to start somewhere. Listen, my own, I shared this with Pastor. My own mother died of MS. I haven't stopped praying for the sick because of a lack of result. My faith comes through Jesus. He offered my faith. I'm not finding the will of God through the death of my mother. I already found the will of God through the life of Jesus. So until my life starts looking like His, I have to grow. And I haven't arrived. So let's stop drawing conclusions. Let's keep our eyes on Him. Simple. Since my mom passed, I've seen the same disease healed. Why? Because I won't get hurt, scarred, turn tail and run and change what I believe. Jesus already settled my faith.
Yay.
I promise you, God's never our problem. He's our Father. So here's what we're going to do quick tonight. We'll do this quick. I know you don't believe me. Because you don't know what I think quick is. No, we'll do this quick, but not ineffective. The first group of people we'll pray for, real quick, but not ineffective. You'll see, and if you come to this church, you make sure you tell some folks, or you tell your friends, and you tell some people, but real simple instruction. I need you to stand to your feet, and we're going to pray for you real quick. You're going to be our first group. If you were healed tonight, there'd be no way to tell. You'd need time or a test, or it's a migraine. It comes once a week. It's just not the day. And it's been once a week for the last however long, and you're just going to stand and believe it never comes back. That's the stuff I'm talking about. But you won't know in the moment because it comes and goes, or you need a test or time to tell. You guys with me? Stand to your feet real quick if you're in the room and you have a situation like that, that if you were healed, there'd be no way to tell right now. There'd be no way to tangibly, physically test it and tell. We'll get the next group. You know what the next group is, right? The next group is people that would be able to tell. Okay, do we have everybody? Please, if you fit this description, don't sit in your seat. Just get up. Why would we come this far and not participate? Stand to your feet and be in faith. Jesus is excited when we believe, I promise you. Don't say, well, you know, every time there's a speaker, I stand and nothing ever happens, so I ain't stand. Stop. Don't put me in that category anyway. You don't even know me. I'm not one of those other speakers anyway. I'm me and Jesus is Lord and I preach the gospel. So every time you preach the gospel, you ought to stand. Yeah? Okay. If you're sitting near somebody there that's standing, just tap them, get their hand, just make contact. Make sure they know that you're standing with them. We're just going to pray this simple, quick, and easy prayer. We're not even going to communicate anything. You know why you stood. Here's all I need you to do if you stood. If you stood, all I want you to do when we pray is believe Jesus loves you or he'd have never died on a cross. How simple is that? You know what? You love me. Here's what I've learned. People that are going through sickness start questioning his love. God, I don't know where your love is. I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know why I'm deserving this. I don't know what door I opened. I don't know what. And their identity gets in crisis through the situation. Instead of being rooted and grounded in love, addressing the situation, they let their identity get in crisis through the situation. See, the situation should never determine your identity. Jesus already did that. So what you're going through should never decide who God is. God decides what you're going through. Do you see what I'm saying? Don't get it backwards. So if you're standing right now, I want you to do this one simple thing. Just believe he loves you, or he'd have never shed his blood. If you're holding their hand, I want you to believe the same thing. And all I want you to do is pray this over them. Be whole, be healed and be whole in Jesus' name. No more sickness, no more weakness, and no more symptoms. And Father, we thank you. These things will never come back. Thank you right now, healing all through this room. God, you're amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you're doing. Now, if you're being prayed for, just thank God that he loves you. Say, Father, I believe you love me and I thank you for it. And thanks for what you're doing in my body. Father, I thank you. These things will never show up again. Do you believe that, guys, holding their hand? In Jesus' name, be whole. Did you speak that over them? Father, thank you for your love. Amen. Amen? Okay. Good, good. That's simple. But it took a lot to get us to be able to do that. The price that was paid wasn't simple. So grab your sheets quick. This I think this part can be fun for us. We can have fun with this. And I'm going to get you guys to help me, okay? Here, years ago, I would do a service like this. And the reason I got invited to church is because I'd call everybody up front that was sick. And I'd take my time, go down through and pray and hear what I hear and do it. People love that stuff. They love, they go, whoa, listen, wow, yeah, I know them. They're going through that. Wow, it's amazing. You know that. And then you drive home and they think you're anointed. It's like, okay. And it was about 12 years ago, the Lord said, hey, what you're doing and how you're growing and the way you live your life, it's awesome, but who are you multiplying, equipping, training? How are you teaching people? I said, I haven't even been thinking that. He said, how about thinking that? So for the last 12 years, I've been thinking that. Here's what we do. We recognize somebody that's anointed. We think they're a gifting. So we place them on a pulpit and do a big conference around them so they minister to all of us. So if they're prophetic, we all come hoping to get a word. Instead of learn how to move in a level of the prophetic and be prophetic on our job or prophetic in the store. It's not always about getting a word. It's about becoming a word. Yeah? So if you're sick in body tonight and you were healed and would know it, and you'd be able to check and tell in some shape or form. We just had a man. He said to me, he's so precious. He came up to me the next morning. He had a pain and a situation in his hip and back and stuff completely went away. But he had tumors protruding out of his body and some in some not good areas. Rectal stuff, tumor stuff. And they were cancerous and the one in his bottom was very painful. He didn't say anything about it because of the nature. But his back and hip and all that pain left, but the tumors were still there, and it still hurt. He didn't say nothing, but he testified that, man, they prayed for my back, my hip. Wow, this is awesome. It's been hurt for a long time. The sciatic, everything's gone. Yay. Didn't say a word about the tumors. I said, who here hasn't experienced any change? There was a handful of people. I talked about that a little. We prayed again. I talked about what faith is. And I saw that he raised his hand, and I thought, I didn't say anything because I didn't want to embarrass him, but I thought, he just told us he was healed. Now he said, it could change. He raised his hand, but it was because of the tumor stuff. So we prayed, and I said, listen, if you didn't experience change tonight, don't turn faith into a point in time. Faith isn't a maybe he will, maybe he won't, hit, miss, win, or lose. Faith is the position of your heart to believe what he accomplished. Yeah. Like, we try to step into God. We turn God on and off a lot and don't even realize what we're doing. Yeah. Like, faith doesn't say, okay, tonight's the night. Amen. And then you try to ramp up for the next night. Faith says, any change? Well, you know, I'm looking into your big brown eyes, sweetheart. I'd like to tell you, yeah, but don't get hurt. It's not. No, I want you to be healed. I don't want you to say the right thing to make me. I want you healed. Can we pray again? Yeah. Still hurt? Yeah, it hurts. Here's what I tell people. Don't turn faith into a point in time. I say, when you leave here, you got one option. God, you love me and you're doing a good work in me and I so appreciate your love. So when I taught him that, this fella said, brother, when you taught that about faith not being a point in time, it rocked me. Because I'm like all excited, my hips healed, but I'm wondering why these cancerous tumors, and I still feel the pain, and I'm thinking, man, why ain't I getting this? And when you shared that, I thought, wait a minute, it ain't about getting this. God, you love me. You're doing a work. Yay. He said, I went home, and that felt so freeing to me. He said, I went to sleep. He came in the next morning and told me this. He said, when you're traveling, and I come to mind, and you want to use this to help people, you tell them this story.
I said, I will. This was just last week.
So 1 week later, I'm telling you, he woke up in the morning and didn't have one of those tumors in his body and no pain. When he left church, they were all there and the one still hurt. The one that hurt bad still hurt bad. His back was healed, his hip or whatever it was, but the tumors were all there and the one that hurt still hurt. In the morning, they were gone and didn't hurt. Why? Faith's not a point in time. You don't leave going, boy, what am I doing wrong? What am I missing? Why did they get healed? And why didn't I? Man, there must be something blocking my healing. Oh, that's our language. I hear it all the time. And you're letting the moment decide what you believe instead of the finished work of the cross. And you're not finding your faith through the Son of God. You're finding your faith through circumstances. I could tell you countless stories of things changing because we won't let go. We teach our people at home to never let go. To believe. So usually in a room like this tonight, here's what happens. People get instantly healed. I'm not even going to try to explain it. People get instantly healed. Things change. There's sometimes people are healed before we even pray. And they're like, oh. And I'm like, oh, we better hurry. And then there's people that are somewhat healed or noticeably healed. And they can tell they're changed, but not all the way. And then there's people that it seems like it's still the same. Now, I'd like that one to change completely just because we want to see people heal. True? I was in a church last week. There was more people. It's the first time I've seen it in a long time. There was more people that didn't change at all than completely healed and changed somewhat. And I was like, duh. I think there was 18 people in the room that didn't change. So I taught a little on it. We prayed and 7 of them changed. Yeah, after we already had prayed. And it was just God saying, faith's not a point in time. And then I went into church Sunday morning and a handful of the people that hadn't changed came in and told me those kind of testimonies. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
So when do you change? When do you let go? When do you make him change? You don't. I've been in churches where there was only a couple that didn't change. I was in a couple settings, only a couple, where everybody in the room that stood up got completely healed or noticeably healed combined. And that's fine because we want results because we believe he paid for them. But let's stop getting discouraged and disconnecting when there are no results and turning faith into a moment. You follow me? Because you have one response. You love me. You're doing a work in me. And I so appreciate the promise and covenant and your faithfulness. Stand to your feet. If you're sick in this place and you were healed and you would know it, stand to your feet, please. We'd love to pray for you and see what God does in this room tonight. Please don't stay in your chair and don't make me go fishing. I'm a pretty good fisherman. Please don't. Don't tempt and test the Spirit of God and make me call. I was just in a service a while back and this lady didn't think much of it. She just thought, well, it's not that big of a deal. But Jesus wanted her to stand up. And I said, you're sitting, you didn't stand yet. I said, just this week you opened up something in your kitchen, a jar, you couldn't turn it, and you said, what is happening to my strength? I'm losing my strength in my hands. She just started crying and stood to her feet. I said, was that you? She said, exactly, it was a jar. I said, man, you're going to get it first probably. She said she had strength and felt healed before we even prayed. And there was another person, a guy, just recently in a church, and he just didn't stand up for some reason. The Lord waited and then gave me why he was still sitting. Now, this is exciting. If God didn't mean business, why would he do that? Why would he wait on one lady?
I just love it.
Just God is good.
So don't sit there and say, "Now, I wonder if he's going to call me out." No, I would rather you boast in faith and just stand to your feet and say, "You know what? I'm ready, God." He likes when you stand. So I'm still waiting on just a couple people to get involved. You would know it if your body changes. Come on, there's about 6 people still sitting. You have absolute awareness of arthritic stuff in your bodies and you're still sitting. It was like 6 of you. I saw 6. Yeah, keep jumping up. Good. Yeah, I'm not going to fish anymore. I just need you to stand. If you have something less than wholeness, and you'd be able to check and it would be gone. Listen, you got nothing to lose. Kingdom's here. It's not a point in time. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We're going to keep our eyes on him tonight. You're going to learn a lot and it's going to be fun. Do we have everybody?
Going once, going twice.
Thank you, buddy, for standing. I feel like I'm waiting on 2 ladies yet. Please. So, yeah, I don't even want to call it out now. God. Come on. Did I get my 2 ladies? Did a lady just stand? Did you just stand out of the corner of my eye back there? Good. Well, I was hearing about a lady, and I said, "Lord, if I say that, but if you just stood, if it had something to do, there's something, there's a bladder and an infection thing, and there's a burning sensation." I didn't want to call it out, because then you stand there, and everybody says, "She got a bladder infection." But I want you to definitely be on your feet, because you're in the room, and I heard that. And it has to do with urinary tract, bladder stuff, urinary tract, and there's a burning sensation as a woman. Is that you?
Well, it really burned, but I feel it for all of that.
Okay.
Because I got a picture done years ago.
Yeah. Did you just now stand up? Okay. Good. I'm glad you stood. No, but good. Good. Yeah, the girl in the green. Do you know her in front of you in the green?
Do you know her?
Oh, good. Okay, I want to make sure you pray for her. I just feel like that would be good for you. And when we're ready to pray, you just turn around and grab her, and that's just going to be fun, okay? We're going to pray for her. All right, everybody that's standing, if you were healed, you would know it, right? Okay, put your hand up real high so we don't lose you in the crowd. The people sitting, you're my prayer team. And this is awesome. You ought to be excited because you can't go wrong. Because I'm only going to give you 6 seconds to pray. No, I'm doing it for you. You know why I'm giving you 6 seconds to pray? Because you can't get in trouble or get in the way in 6 seconds. It's too short. You won't get self-conscious. You won't. Come on. If God says, "Let there be light," and there's light, he doesn't need you to pray longer than 6 seconds anyway. But here's what it'll look like. Well, don't pray yet. Just go find a partner. Just go have fun with it. If you're nervous, I want you on my team. If you never did this before, I really want you to participate. I'm not going to mark who did and who didn't. When they find you and claim you, just go say, "Hey, you're mine." Just have fun. Say, "Hey, I'm new at this, but I'm going to pray for you." Just have fun. When they get you, put your hand down. When they claim you, put your hand down. If somebody's with you, put your hand down. I only want the hands up of people who didn't get claimed yet. Look around. I got 2 hands in the back. Somebody got you. Can I have a guy run back and grab the guy with her in the back? Is there somebody that can go stand with the gentleman back there? It doesn't have to be a guy. Thank you. Did somebody get you? They got you? Okay. Oh, good. Yeah, I see it. Is everybody claimed? We have no unclaimed freight here, right? That's a furniture place back home. Unclaimed freight. They sell things cheap. It's not the truth. You guys were bought with a price. Okay, now here's the deal. 3 seconds, just 3 seconds. I thought we had 6. That's for praying. 3 seconds, tell them why you stood. Give them the 3-second version. Like tore rotator cuff, herniated disc in the back. I got a cancerous growth right here sticking out of my side. Whatever. 3 seconds, you should know already. Bad knees, you're right? You know, my knees are bone on bone, no cartilage. Whatever. You done? You got it? Everybody knows? This is awesome. Okay, now look up. We're going to do this as a family. 6 seconds is going to look something like this. Let's just say that somebody just told you, "Man, I injured my rotator cuff. It's never been right. I can only lift my arm up about this high and it just catches and it hurts and they want to do surgery. I've just been putting it off." Okay, that's legit. Who knows? We've run into stuff like that. Father, I thank you for your amazing love. Shoulder, you be healed. Rotator cuff, be completely whole. In Jesus' name, no more pain. Thank you, God. No more pain. Total motion. In Jesus' name, amen. Who knows you can do that in 6 seconds? After 6 seconds, I want you to pray simple faith based on whatever they told you. If they said, I'm bone on bone in my knees, knees, you be completely made whole. Cartilage be restored. Father, no pain, no limitation. In Jesus' name. Who knows you can do that in 6 seconds? And be super sincere, right? Can't you? You won't be self-conscious because you're just speaking to the mountain, right? Ear, you hear in Jesus' name. I was in a setting a while back. 3 people that couldn't hear heard in a little 6 seconds setting. It's just fun stuff. We were just in a session where a lady had a hole in her retina and she couldn't see. And when they prayed for 6 seconds, her vision came back.
It's just fun.
This stuff wants to happen. Let's just believe it. Y'all ready? You didn't forget what you're praying for, right? Okay. No, seriously. I'm going to give you 6 seconds. At the end of 6 seconds, I'm going to say, okay, guys, wrap it up. And then take another 3-4 seconds to just thank God for his love for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what I mean? I always acknowledge God's love. If you're being prayed for, here's all I want you to do tonight. I don't want you doing this. I just want you to relax and thank God he loves you through his son. God, you totally love me or you'd have never sent your son. Thank you. And just be at peace. Thank you for loving me. And let them pray 6 seconds of simple faith. Are you good with that? And then we're going to ask you guys how you're doing. I don't want any exaggeration. I don't want you having a youngster praying for you and you're trying to encourage them, so you're going to lie a little. It's not good, guys. When your body changes and you know it's healed, I want you to make sure we know who you are. I'll probably take a couple and don't hold back because you're nervous to talk. You ought to be able to shout it out and just say yay. So when you're healed, we want to find out what's going on. Now, here's the deal. If you're somewhat changed, you can just hold off and wait. And if you didn't change at all, don't disconnect. Listen to the testimonies. Stay thankful and watch what happens. Okay? So you hear a testimony, then you hear another testimony. Wow, God, you're healing in this room. You're so good. You love us so much. Thanks for what you're doing in us, God. Thanks for what you're doing in me. And then check your body again. After testimony, thank God for his love and check your body again. Watch what happens. Okay? I've been in rooms like this where it's like popcorn, man. Like people will just start, oh, yeah, whoa. Why? Because they won't disconnect. Where before you teach this, they might go, there it goes again. I never get healed. I knew I shouldn't have stood up. It never happens for me. I'm telling you, if I took a survey, there's people in here that have said that and done that or know people that have. It's a common thing. That should not be. You all ready? 6 seconds, sincere faith, go. Give them the kingdom. Wow, good. Jesus' name. Okay, wind it down, guys. Wrap it up. Yep, because he loves them. Thank God he loves you if you're being prayed for in Jesus' name. Wrap it up. Should amen and all over the room. Thanks, God. You're good. Now, see, I didn't pray over top you. This is just you guys believing. We're just believing. Thanks, God. Start checking your bodies right now. And if you know your body changed, as soon as you know it, go like this. I want you to go like this as soon as you know it. For sure? For sure? For sure? Yeah, go like this. So I know they're like, wow, good. 1, 2, 3. This is awesome. Somebody, who you want to share? You look excited. Yeah. What was wrong with it? Why?
And that's why they're like, when you're talking about me, they're like,
yeah? So you can put all the weight on there you need to. Was that your knee that was causing you not? She couldn't put her weight on that side. She would have to baby that side, right? Yes, you can. Who else? You know you changed. Yes, sir. Yeah, we'll get her. Go ahead, sir. Yep, in the black t-shirt. Now listen, check your bodies, and especially if nothing changed, just listen to a couple of these, and after they testify, check your body. Go ahead. Okay. 3 weeks straight? Right, right. So it never goes away. It's just real painful. You can't find the soreness. And this is the first time in 3 weeks that it hasn't been sore. Even with pain medicine. That's awesome. What about the dear lady right here? Yes, ma'am. Shout it out. Yeah, yeah, you. So you had noticeable symptoms. They're gone. Stretch your hands to this woman, guys. Father, we just thank you. It'll never, ever come back. Father, we just thank you for wholeness in her body. Lord, I just thank you for years of health. And I thank you, Lord God, that her strength is restored, even mobility, even agility. God, I thank you even some areas of flexion. I thank you there's no stiffness. Lord God, I thank you for wholeness and change. I thank you she gets up out of bed and realizes newness in her body in Jesus' name. Amen? I just heard to bless you and pray those things. Who else? You know your body changed. Yeah, for sure? Okay. This little lady here has 6 children, by the way. that freaks me out. I wish you would tell me how old you are, but you could tell me in secret because you just look so young.
And I've been losing range of motion.
Since she was 14, she's had this shoulder injury.
When you said raise your hand, I raised up my one hand, but tried to, and it only goes so far, so I raised up my other one. But after prayer, I can put my hand.
So, what's that?
There are many joints I've had pain in my hip,
okay.
My knee,
okay.
My elbows.
Wow. You're not feeling anything.
He was praying and he said, he spoke.
This fella prayed for you right here? So awesome.
Food allergies, and I've really been recently struggling a lot with lactose intolerance.
There you go. And he heard that? He spoke that? You didn't even tell him that. You were awesome, man. You sat over here crying the whole time I'm preaching, dude. You're so awesome. No, that's great, man. I can tell. I'm over there preaching. I'm up here preaching. Look over here. I'm like, this guy's amazing. Yeah. So here's what she'd said. She had an injury in her shoulder at age 14. She had a lot of this stuff going on. Then he got even a word about some intolerant stuff. But she said when I said raise a hand, she was used to lifting her left hand because the right hand, the right arm wasn't good since she was 14 and it was getting worse as time went on. And now lift your arm for me. Is this good? Is that where it went before? Come up here so they can see you quick. I want people to appreciate this so they're not just hearing all soreness in the shoulder. It's more than that, guys. Show me what you could do before he prayed. The best
before
you could do.
I could put my hand, my arm about here. It only raised a little.
That's the range of motion right there. And now you're good.
Wow.
And no pain anywhere else. Awesome. Bless you. Thank you. And you're awesome, dude. Anybody else who want to share something quick? Go ahead, ma'am.
I have the whole side of my body, my neck, it was herniated. I've had 2 replacements on my knee. None of them worked. I don't feel pain in my neck, and my knee is a little stiff, but I'm deaf, and I still can't hear.
Okay. You're not hearing? Okay. I said, you're not hearing? Okay. Does your knee feel different?
Yeah.
No pain in your neck. When's the last time you didn't have pain there?
My knee's been 3 years. My neck probably maybe 6 months, 7 months.
And it's all gone.
Yeah.
Who prayed with you?
My sister.
Okay. A couple of you ladies surround her right now. Do you have hearing aids in? Pop them out. Pop them out and pray for her ears. Who here didn't experience any change in your body when we prayed? No change. Take about, now watch, just take about 6 seconds on your own. The person that was with you, stand there. You can put your hand on them if you want, but here's what I want you to do. Wow, God, thank you for what you're doing in this room. Thanks for healing. Thanks for loving us, and thanks for loving me. That's not selfish, to receive what he paid for. Just take about 6 seconds. Thank God for loving you. And just appreciate that he's doing a work, and then begin to check that area right now in your body. It's just good to learn to have relationship and learn to believe God and not let faith turn into a point in time or healing mechanical, right? It's relational. It's not if I do this, he'll do that. No, he already did something through his son. So do that right now in the sense of just relational. God, you love me. Wow, you're healing people. We only interviewed a few. There was probably six more hands I could have called on. God, you're doing things in the room. Thanks, and thanks for loving me. Now begin to check your bodies. The people that nothing changed, check your bodies. And tell me if anything changed, if anything got better that time in those people, just that group. It's important. Just check your body. Did anything change that time? Take your time. Check it out. Check it good. Yeah, have her check her body. Did something change? A little bit? Got a little better? Okay. Changed a little bit? Just a little. Anybody else? Changed a little? Now it's going? Oh, that's so sweet. No, that's great. I want it. It was changing while she was testifying. Now let me ask you this. The first time, nothing changed. Just a little. But... oh, okay. And now as you were testifying, it's just changed. That's sweet. Thanks, God, for your love. Anybody else? Something else changed when we prayed that little last round and just had you talking personal? Something? A little bit? Okay.
Yeah, I had problems with my heel for months. Like the end of the shift at work, I'll be limping. When I get out of bed in the morning.
Is it like a plantar fasciitis, a spur? What is it?
I don't know. It's something to do with my tendon that wraps around my ankle, and the pain goes from my heel up around my ankle.
Yeah.
And like, it's definitely better. Like, I can still feel a tiny bit of it, but it's like probably 80-90% better.
Okay. Who prayed with you? Are these friends prayed? Good. Amen. Yeah. You're awesome. Anybody else? You got something to share? Anybody else changed that time?
I have nerve issues.
Yeah. So every time they prayed, it got a little better, a little better. Is it still there a little bit? Now watch. If you're out in the street and you pray for somebody like at that gas pump or in the mall and they get a little better, sincerely get a little better, do you think they'll let you pray again?
Yeah.
Here's what I've learned. I'm not the brightest man on the planet, but I've learned this. Better plus better plus better, sooner or later, equals what? Complete wholeness. So whenever I have momentum and something changes, I always pray again. And we're not asking God to heal over and over. What you're saying is, me and Todd, my buddy, who knows Todd White? My buddy's Todd. Me and Todd, way back when Todd first got saved, he'd go to all these meetings with me and we'd teach stuff like this. So Todd's like a little pit bull dog, you know, and he finds this 82-year-old lady. Her hands were crippled from arthritis. All her fingers were going in the same direction. She couldn't even hold silverware. Did you ever see that? He called me over, and she was the sweetest lady. Like, she'd have been the best. Anybody's grandma would have been the best. And she's like, and her hands are all crooked. And we start praying, and here's what we did. Arthritis, you leave her in Jesus' name. Come out of her now. Leave right now. Check your hands. Is there anything changed? No. She said, no, they're the same. Arthritis, you leave. In Jesus' name, you come out of her hands. Todd's looking at me. I'm looking at him. We're praying. She's so sweet. We get about 7-8 prayers in, and she says, well, you boys are really serious. You're really going after it. We're like, we're praying. It was no less than 13. It might have been 15 or 16 times. We weren't asking God to heal. We were saying, arthritis, you go. Listen, I know us guys, if you're trying to break a, if you got a big boulder in your yard and you had that thing looked at and it's like the size of your house and it's the tip of it sticking up out of your grass and it's in the way and you think, you know what, I'll just bust that off with a sledgehammer, smash it down even to the ground, cover it with some topsoil and nobody will know it's there. You swing that sledgehammer and hit it and it just sits there and looks at you. What are you going to do? Oh, well, I'll just plant flowers around it. Come on, guys. What are you going to do with a sledgehammer? So the second time, it's just looking back at you, what's happening right now? Rock, you going down. And you're starting to swing some hammer, right? Why do we sell out and cheap with prayer and stuff? Why don't we just believe God? We're just hitting the hard thing that seems like it won't break. That thing's just looking at us. We're just praying. Watch. As true as I'm standing here, me and Todd watched that 82-year-old lady's hands completely crunch, crunch, crack, crunch, crunch, and go completely straight. We probably prayed 15, 16 times, but didn't grow weary in well-doing, didn't draw our conclusions. We felt momentum. We didn't feel like we were striving, and she was getting a kick out of us. If she'd have told us enough already, boys, we'd have just wrapped faith around what seemed to not happen and trusted that things would begin to change. But she left us keep praying, so we kept swinging the hammer. Yeah? Anybody else? You got a testimony. So if you want to, pray one more time for her. Anybody else? Everybody good? Is there anybody in this room you still didn't change? Your body didn't change at all, like not at all. It's the same as the first time. Okay, if your person's still with you, grab them real quick. We're just going to release faith over you, and we're not going to ask survey. We're wrapping up. Here's what I want you to do, guys. Listen, we don't talk about this enough. This is the category we don't talk about. We celebrate in the healings, and then people could leave and think, man, nothing happened. Listen, it's never about nothing happening. It's about us believing. You got one option, please. Leave here relational and thank God He loves you. And thank God He's doing a work in you. Will you do that, sir? Right there in the bibs, please. Go home tonight. Father, wow, I'm glad I stood, and I'm glad you love me. Thank you for faith. Thank you for the kingdom. Thanks for the work you're doing in my body and in my life. Who knows we can live this way? You go to bed in faith. You keep your heart up. You wake up, check that thing out, and stay in this place. Relationship grows there, and things change there. Make sense? So, Father, we thank you for everything you did, everything you're doing, and even in these, God, right now. So if you're praying for them and you know what it is, just speak to it right now. Father, we thank you. It changes every sickness, every infirmity, every weakness. And, God, we just thank you right now for total wholeness. Lord, thank you. You change things on the way home. You change things in our sleep. You change things through the day, God. Thank you because you're faithful and your love never fails. In Jesus' name, be whole. Amen? Amen.